There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Let's see. So today will be a little bit different because, Jeffrey, we've reached that age.
Oh, yeah.
Christmas pageant.
Oh, yeah.
What is she playing in the Christmas pageant?
I think they're just singing, and we've not gotten a straight answer from her about what song.
Is this your first Christmas pageant?
Yes.
But you've had other school performances, I take it?
I don't know if we've had performances before.
Really? First time you're going to be sitting in the audience, watching your daughter up on stage.
Correct.
Do something, wave, little smile. You're going to try to sit. Who's going to be manning the camera? Cell phone.
Probably me.
This is all very exciting.
You know what I mean? This is the classic, let's be real. My strategy is used to me. I'm just going to do whatever Aaliyah tells me.
This is fantastic. This is a new era. My mother used to have a story she liked about a little girl who was in a Christmas pageant, and the girl comes home, and the mother says, "What are you going to be, a wise man? No. You're going to be a star? Are you going to be the star? No. Are you going to go through the litany? What are you going to be?" I didn't think this was this great a story, but it was one my mom.
Your mom loved it.
My mom loved this story. I think, she was on the school board, and I think her last year on the school board, she was asked to be the graduation speaker. I think she even used this as an
anecdote in the speech.
An anecdote in the speech. Maybe even the general theme of the speech was, so what are you going to be? I'm going to be a clapper. And the point was,
she wants to be Jason Garrett?
No, it was not that she wants to be Jason. The point was, everyone wants to be the star of the show, but you need people who are supportive. You just need supportive people. The world needs more clappers.
We need glue guys.
Now, I'll be honest, I didn't kind of buy that story. I don't think most people would be satisfied being a clapper, although I take her point. She did tell this other story. Okay, here's another favorite story. There was once this old couple, and they were sitting on the porch in their rocking chairs. Have I told you this one before?
I don't believe so.
Okay. And the house next to them was for sale. And a young couple comes up, and the young couple says, "Hey, we're thinking of buying this house next door. What's the neighborhood like?" And the old couple said, well, what's it like where you're coming from? And they say, "Oh, we're so glad to get the hell out of there. People are mean. They gossip, backbiting. It's just a miserable place filled with miserable people. And we're really looking forward to a fresh start." the old guy says, well, that's about what it's like here. Can you guess what's going to happen? Anyway, the next day, another young couple comes up to look at the house. And they, sure enough, they, the old couple's still on the porch, probably haven't moved. They come over and they say, we're thinking of buying this house. What's the neighborhood like? And they say, well, what's it like where you're from? I say, oh, we just are heartbroken that we have to leave. Everyone is so nice and supportive and friendly, and there's a great community and a great spirit of lifting each other up. And we're really heartbroken, but we're moved for work, and we're gonna, whatever. And the old guy, of course, says, well, that's just what it's like here. You see the point of the story, don't you?
It's what you make it.
It's what you make it, ladies and gentlemen. It's what you make it. And so there you go. You're free to use that story yourselves out there as you go forth in the world. Think of Virginia Calkins. Life is what you make it. Life is what you bring to it. And Christmas pageants are part of the fun. Has she been rehearsing?
So I think they've been doing it in daycare, but okay. I've not seen her going through the house and trying to explain to me this is what she's singing.
Anyway, so Jeffrey's here. You're just here for the first segment. You're here for the first segment, and then we're going to
pop back in.
Yeah, we got Jason Smith is going to help us out in the next segment, as he does on Fridays, and then Chris Harrington's going to join us from Minnesota at straight up at 10 o'clock. George is going to be in here to try to fill in next man up for Jeffrey, and then Jeffrey is coming back. Okay, we taped it.
Yep.
To tell us what he thinks is going to happen this weekend in college sports. So in the four big playoff games, or the two big playoff games and the other two playoff games.
Right.
So that's the lineup. Jeffrey's here with me at the here to start the show. Then Jason Smith, then Chris Harrington, and then we'll get Jeffrey's thoughts on the games. Do you know who Jose Gaspar is?
I do not, Jeff.
He's not real.
Okay.
The Gasparilla Bowl.
Ah.
Which we've played scant attention to. We've mentioned it maybe once.
John told us to take the over.
John, it's true. You know when that kickoff is?
1:30, I believe.
1:30 kickoff today.
Central, correct?
So as you're out there doing your shopping or whatever you're doing, you can follow along, however, or you can be home watching on your big screen TV.
While listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company.
While listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, the Gasparilla Bowl today. And Jose Gaspar is the fictitious pirate.
Arr.
Right. That is the inspiration for the Gasparilla Bowl. The legends were told in the Tampa St. Pete area about this. He's a Spaniard originally who became a pirate that terrorized the Gulf of Mexico way back when. There is no evidence at all that he existed. Sort of like an evil Santa, right? Like
Krampus.
Although there is evidence that Santa exists, and that's under the tree every single Christmas. And so, but there's no evidence that he existed. But they started celebrating.
Sounds like he might have been a great pirate then.
This isn't something.
Leave no trace.
If this was something they came up with, that's true. If this is something they came up with in the 1983, you know, then I'd look askance at it. They've been celebrating and talking about Jose Gaspar in this region since the early 1900s. So, they have a Gasparilla Festival down there, and here is the Gasparilla Bowl. Memphis plays NC State at 1:30.
NC State.
At 1:30, I just started with the U, and then I was stuck.
Correct.
I did know it was NC State. And although we are of the view that bowls, while they're fun to watch, they provide football throughout the otherwise slow month of December, that bowls are fundamentally meaningless, right?
Yep.
My question to you is this bowl even
more meaningless?
Right, because there's a new coach in waiting?
Yeah, and
is that why it's been like not even mentioned? It is impressive the way the Memphis players have hung in there, which is either a testament to their character and stick-to-itness.
Or their contract writing.
Or a testament to the way their contracts are written. But either way, impressive.
Impressive, and, you know, guys that are going to play their last game, like they want to go out on the right note.
Well,
like,
and I continue to say that although everyone will, I should acknowledge that the Memphis football season was, in the end, disappointing. And if you're choosing between good and was it more good or more disappointing, it was more disappointing.
Yeah.
You're looking up and having to watch Tulane in the freaking playoff. Like, it could be, it could be and should be Memphis versus should be. I can't say should be. Why should it be? But it absolutely could be Memphis playing in Oxford tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they didn't get that done. Do you, by the way, buy the narrative that has now sort of emerged that the reason they didn't was Ryan was focused on Arkansas?
Absolutely not. The reason why they didn't do it is because, I mean, A, we still, that UAB loss did not get its due for being just a horrific loss. But then on top of that, did you see anything that looked distracting when Tulane didn't throw an incompletion in the first half? Like,
no,
they just bit on all the run
fakes.
This
is my point, is that I don't know why you would reach for that excuse when they just did what they always do, which was lose critical games.
Yes.
I mean, this year was no different than any other year, which is
have the big win early.
They have big wins early, have maybe beat an SCT or power whatever team, and then lose critical games down the stretch. Last year, I don't know, did the critical losses in each of the previous years, is it because he was talking to someone? He did what he does, which is lose critical games. Like, you don't need to be, the only possible explanation for this is that he was distracted by Arkansas. No, he does this every year. This is what happened. They lose games that they should win. And so I don't buy that. But I do say that even though the year was more disappointing than good, it was fun for a lot of the year. Like, it was, in fact, and these players, you know, we talk about how portal players come and go and whatever else, and they're just merged. I actually kind of, I admire them, and I'm kind of attached to them.
Yeah, I mean,
Brendan Lewis was
gutty.
Gutty, better, to me, better than advertised, better than I thought he was going to be.
I agree with that.
And an admirable Tiger. He's an admirable Tiger who's wrapping up his career.
I didn't find myself, like, infatuated with the team, though.
I don't know. I have to say the two wins, the win over Arkansas and the win over South Florida, they were pretty captivating. They were incredibly captivating.
Well, they were confusing. Because I still...
In a way, they shouldn't have won either game.
Correct. They did.
We did have the other news.
And we don't apologize for winning.
No, we do not. Do you have thoughts on this one?
Not really. Because this is just who
cares the most?
Correct. Dave Dorn's not had a great bowl record.
In the meantime, on the Memphis football front, Kevin Decker, Old Dominion's OC, appears to be going to be the new Memphis OC. Your thoughts?
So I was interested to learn that he was an assistant for Tim Kramsey at Montana State. I mean, obviously, they've put up a big offense. I think the first question would be, is Colton Joseph coming with him? His quarterback?
It's funny. They were better running the ball than throwing the ball.
I mean, he now runs a version of the veer right. And shoot, the Heupel thing, which doesn't get enough credit for being actually a run offense.
Yeah,
you spread the field to run it.
Yeah, they were a tremendous run.
I mean, Colton Joseph had over 1,000 yards rushing.
Yeah. All right.
As a quarterback.
By the way, while we are on the topic of Memphis sports, our friend Sam Shoemaker, who early in the year broke the story about the playbook scandal.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The
sign stealing. The DB that was kicked off the team that gave the playbook and the actual signs to UTSA.
Right. He got that story. He now... And maybe someone else has reported this. I haven't seen it. You know how Dane Bradshaw was talking the other day about Penny fining Aaron Bradshaw?
Yep.
No relation. Well, we got a story from Sam and the Helmsman. Daily Helmsman, you got it? I admire college journalists breaking news. Daily Helmsman, the independent voice of the University of Memphis since 1931. Here's the headline. Sources. Memphis forward Aaron Bradshaw had more than, let's see if you can guess, blank thousand in NIL pay withheld for team rule violations. The story is Memphis forward Aaron Bradshaw has had more than blank withheld from his NIL compensation due to multiple violations of team rules.
I have two numbers in my head.
According to sources who spoke to the Daily Memphian. According to one source, Bradshaw is the second highest earner on the Tigers behind only Doug McDaniel. And then he quotes Dane Bradshaw, who said he was fined for being late, fined for violating our dress code. $3,000 here, $3,000 there. This is quoting Dane Bradshaw. This is what he said over the airwaves. Guess who started to show up early? Guess who started to put effort in? So there you go. Thoughts?
10.
20.
Wow. Because I actually went with a high number.
He hasn't been charged anything, according to, again, Sam Shoemaker over the Daily Helmsman. The money has been retained from his monthly pay. So that's how they do it. You don't have to get him to write a check. You just are paying him, and you pay him less. What do you think?
Did it work?
Did not work to create an effective basketball player.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and come up with some moral judgment. Like, Penny's trying to figure out a way to motivate him.
No, I got no problem with him being fined. I have no problem that if he's not doing what he's supposed to do, I got no problem with it. I do wonder what the legal framework around that is, what the contract says about that. And then you do wonder if you get a reputation as a school that does that, does it hurt your further recruiting efforts? Right?
Doesn't seem to hurt Georgia.
Did they fine?
Oh, yeah.
They fine?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, then do it.
I think most of them do.
Do fine. They just, we're going to withhold money if you do this. Is that all spelled out, you think? And it has to be. Otherwise, you'd have lawsuits around the findings.
I 100%. I think it has to be.
It's got
to
be if you follow team rules, whatever else. It's got to be in the agreements. I'm actually surprised that we haven't seen more reporting about, like, why aren't these agreements leaked, you know? This is what an agreement looks like. Have you ever seen that? I've never seen one.
No, and I think...
Why not?
I think because most of them are controlled by the collectives, and the collectives are usually run by...
Yeah, but you know who sees them? Like, the athletes see them, right? And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I mean, there's hundreds of athletes at every school who have them. I'm shocked that we haven't seen an NIL agreement. At least I haven't seen it. I'd like to see
it. I wonder if they have a copy. I almost wonder if, like, they just sign them and then, like, it's all.
and then they wave a little black wand in front of their faces so they forget it or something. Anyway, there you go. University of Memphis sports. Obviously, University of Memphis basketball also plays tomorrow. Mississippi State and the Grizzlies play the Wizards. I think we have reached a moment. I have before asked you early season games when the Grizzlies are playing and the Tigers are playing in hoops. I ask you which game matters more. And the answer always is the Tigers game matters more because the Grizzlies game in an 82-game season just doesn't matter that much.
Scarcity.
Okay, let me ask you this. I think right now, maybe not emotionally, but in terms of which matters more, Memphis Grizzlies beating the Wizards tomorrow matters more.
Just to get to 500?
Well, also, literally, except for it's fun to win emotionally, everything else, Tigers game doesn't matter at all.
They're
not going to get an at-large, and it's not a conference game, so it doesn't matter for conference seating. It literally doesn't matter at all. In terms of the future, it matters in terms of how we perceive the season, and for that reason, maybe it matters more, but it doesn't matter at all. Whereas the Grizzlies game counts in the standings and matters to, you know, finishing eighth, finishing ninth, finishing sixth.
We are at the point of the Tiger basketball season where wins and losses, it's the psychological toll is what matters.
It's 100% the psychological toll. This is a game that people are like, well, if they could either beat Vandy or you could either beat Vandy or Louisville, and then, of course, you'll beat Mississippi State. So you go down there, which is kind of silly anyway. It's a road game to just expect that it seemed winnable, though. It seemed winnable. And it is winnable, but truthfully, which game matters more? It's more important that the Grizzlies win.
Yeah, I mean, I can totally buy that because we are at the point with the Tigers where it's like
it doesn't matter.
They're formatted. Their season's very clear. Like win,
they have to win the tournament.
Yeah.
So conference games, regular season games, do matter for seeding. Because now if you're a top two seed, you only have to play two games in the tournament. The whole goal is to win the tournament. So conference games now 100% matter, and non-conference games just don't, except for emotionally, how you feel about it, right?
Well, and like, do you think like the impact of losing is going to force, you know, will lead to the team breaking
apart?
Yeah,
all of that. Yeah, emotionally, not just how we feel about it, but internally how they feel about themselves. It matters that they figure things out. Of course, winning matters. Like, all of that matters. And in that way, it probably is more important. How people feel about Penny. How Penny feels about this team. Is Aaron Bradshaw going to be fine for showing up? Whatever. Like, all of this. Okay. While we're talking about all of that, what a game last night. Unbelievable. I find myself, after all of that, still thinking...
The Rams are the best team.
The Rams are the best team.
And on top of this... It's like, okay, congratulations. Like, yeah, you made some throws late. Don't you also come away from this game like, I still don't believe in Sam Darnold at the highest level.
But it is completely different than what he the way that Chris Canty put it, and I thought it was well put this morning as I was driving in, was he said it was a microcosm of Sam Darnold's career, right? A lot of bad stuff. What the hell are you doing? Disaster. You are who we, you know. And then, whoa, shocking good stuff at the end, and sort of.
But if they don't get a punt return,
oh no! Here's what they needed: they needed a punt return, they needed three straight three and outs.
Yep.
And they needed a missed field goal.
Yep.
I mean, in order to win that, and then now they also needed 3 2-point conversions, one controversial. That is Sam doing. Sam Darnold, you got to give him credit for those, right?
Well, I'm not giving him credit for the 2-point conversion that we've never seen before.
Right. I'm certainly not giving him credit for the punt return. And I'm not giving credit for the three and outs, right? But he did in those touchdown drives, he made big throws. Like it would have been if the game had just ended the way it looked halfway through the fourth quarter, it would have been a disaster for Sam Darnold. It would have been, my God.
I can't go. He made plays. He's now thrown 7 picks in 2 games against the Rams. And if these things don't happen, they lose the game.
That's true. I'm saying.
And he's the reason.
If none of those things happened and they hadn't made the comeback, it would be much worse for Sam Darnold. Is all I'm saying. Is that right now, I agree with you. I trust Matt Stafford. I don't trust Sam Darnold. 100%. The narrative around Sam Darnold that I'm hearing nationally right now is, he saved the day and showed that he can come through in critical moments. And that would not have been the narrative.
No.
Had not the second.
I mean, and I also think like.
I mean, the interception when they're down 60, what it was, 30-14,
yeah.
The pick at the goal line was just, what the hell are you doing?
Well, both picks were.
Both picks were. But that one, like, you got a chance to get back.
Yeah,
it was crazy. I did find myself thinking, though, yeah, the Rams are the better team here. I mean, my God.
I found myself thinking the Rams are the better team. I also did find myself thinking Seattle's got a good coach.
I think that's right, too. I think Seattle has a good coach. And by the way, it is not, the hay is not in the barn now for Seattle.
No.
Because.
By the way, waiting in the wings are the Niners.
That's what I'm about to say. They play the Niners. So if everyone just wins all the games, and yet the Niners beat Seattle, which is totally
right.
Conceivable. Then you would have a three.
It'll be at San Francisco.
Then you will. It'll be at San Francisco. Then you will have a three-way tie at the top of the division, and the tiebreaker in that scenario goes to the 49ers.
Correct.
So yes, it is all in the control of the Seahawks if they win out, but they have to win a game at the 49ers. And if that one, and right now the Niners would be favored in that game, right? So right now
the Niners won in Seattle and they'd probably be favored in that one, yeah.
What a crazy game. By the way, I also think not only do the Seahawks have a good coach, they got a good GM. In fact, both of these teams, unbelievably.
No, both these organizations are extremely well run.
Extremely well run. For the Seahawks to do what they do, like moving on from DK Metcalf, right?
Yep.
Moving on from Geno Smith, like that is ballsy stuff. And moving on from Pete Carroll, like all of these things, they decided to pull the plug. at the right moment, and they've in big decisions, and they've been proven right.
Yes.
Even whatever skepticism you have about Sam Darnold, they have been proven.
Sam Darnold at his contract is a better deal than Geno. Yeah. I can acknowledge that.
What I was going to go to was, to pick up Rashid Shaheed at the deadline is just he's been massive for them and an absolutely critical return last night.
I just feel like if we get to the situation where the Rams don't win the division, we're going to have a situation where we have the AFC and NFC playoff teams, and I'm going to think the two best teams are like the 5 seed.
The wild cards. Well, it's funny too. Like people are mad as hell because James Madison and Tulane are in the playoff. Well, this is by being a champion, whatever, the way it works, what's going to happen is you're going to have two teams that could finish, 13-4
yep.
in the West, and they're going to have to go play at Tampa or somewhere. You know what I mean? Like
the Vikings last year.
How is that fair? It's fair because it's the rules and because we do put the thumb on the scale for people who win divisions or win conferences or whatever else. Doesn't seem right. Very clearly, if the Rams have to travel in the first round of the playoff to a deeply inferior team, that seems wacky. Why are we doing that? We do that because we prioritize people who win conferences, wins divisions, whatever else. It's the same situation. Matt Stafford was just unbelievable last night, 457 yards. Puka, 12 catches, 225 yards, and then continued his week of controversy. Of course, Puka Nacua had been on with a streamer earlier this week.
Streamers,
where he ripped officiating, and he made, unbeknownst to him, evidently, anti-Semitic sure. dance. He did an anti-Semitic, which he subsequently apologized for. And then as soon as this game ended, literally before the head coach was speaking at the podium, he had tweeted out more criticisms about the officials. This largely because of the two-point conversion. Don't you think that's what it was about? He said, appreciate your contribution, Stripes. That was the controversial.
Yeah, I also think this can be true. I don't think Puka Nacua is a deep thinker.
I think he's a very good receiver.
I think he's a great football player.
I think he's a tremendous football player. I'll be honest, the moment when I think that people may have turned this game off last night was, again, it's 30-14, Seahawks driving halfway through the fourth quarter. And they throw up, and Sam Darnold throws a pick at the goal line, basically. And so then you're, okay, this is done. Well, it's not done because they then forced a 3-and-out punt. Rashid Shaheed returns it for the touchdown, plus the 2-point conversion. You're like, all right, now we got a game. Another punt. Darnold drives him. Another touchdown. 2-point conversion. Tied. Then you get the missed field goal, which looked like it was going to go dead straight down
the middle. Yeah, that was bizarre. Like you thought it was like fine, and then just kept like, I guess the wind got it.
Then you go to OT. Rams march right down and score. Puka, and then Seattle responds with a touchdown of their own, and at that point, with about 3 minutes left in OT, a tie does nothing for Seattle.
Right.
Because they had lost the previous game. They had to win that game, so they go for two, and they get the 2-point conversion and win. That was a hell of a football game.
Oh, it was an awesome football game. It was so weird to be watching it. You could feel, I just kept thinking like the whole time, I was like, there's going to be some no apparent reason Seattle wins this game, but I still don't feel better about Seattle.
I feel better about the Rams than I do about Seattle. The only thing you might wonder about the Rams is their inability to run the football in the second half was not like that.
They could not put the game away.
They could not put the game away.
I also think McVay at times when he is trying to salt the game away, he gets very conservative. And I think I honestly think that he coached that game like he thought the defense was going to get all the stops, and they didn't.
Again, we got Jason Smith coming up next. Then we got Chris Harrington, and then Jeffrey will come back and discuss the playoff games over the weekend. The two stories, though, from beyond the world of sports that I did want to touch on before we let you go to the pageant, Jeffrey, are first of all, they caught the Brown killer, the killer, the shooter.
Did they see catch
him? They didn't catch him. He caught himself. Yeah. He killed himself. They found. And Claudio Manuel Neves Valente, a Portuguese national, former student at Brown. He also killed the MIT professor.
Okay, I was going to ask, do we know?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
And that guy was also Portuguese, so he knew that guy.
Yeah.
A MIT professor was also killed this week. He knew that guy, and he was also the killer of the two Brown students. It's just awful. Like, it's just awful. And the way they caught him was, there was a tipster who was on Reddit.
Yeah.
Who said, I'm being dead serious. The police need to look into a gray Nissan with Florida plates, possibly a rental. And that guy then emerged. And what happened was he had had an encounter with the suspect inside the bathroom of the building. And
at the storage facility?
No, at Brown.
Okay.
At Brown. This is before the murders. And this tipster said the suspect's clothing were inappropriate for the weather. And they made eye contact. So he followed the guy. And instead of entering the vehicle, he walked to his car, the suspect did. He started walking around the block with John behind him. John is the tipster. John said it was like a game of cat and mouse. At one point, the two men spoke. According to the affidavit I'm reading from the New York Times story, John asked the suspect, your car is back there. Why are you circling the block? And the suspect responded, why are you harassing me? And so then John went on his way at that point. I would not have followed him.
If you think this guy's a killer.
Weirdo,
yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, whatever. But he thought he was suspicious. And sure enough, he was.
He was correct.
He was 100% correct. And so then this guy said he had this kind of car, this kind of plates. They found where he'd rented it. And then at that point, and his name was attached there.
Yeah.
Alamo rental car, and his name was attached, and that's how they found him.
Why did you bring Alamo into
this one? He then subsequently killed himself inside of a storage facility. You wish he had only killed himself.
Yeah, I always wish they would do that. Yeah,
before
you kill yourself first, and we promise we will too. Like, go ahead.
You
yeah.
kill yourself first.
Yep.
And then it'll work out better for everybody.
Yep.
Just awful. But then also. Did you see there is the Coldplay woman?
Yes, I heard. So she's telling her story.
She's telling her story. Kristen Cabot is the Coldplay woman. Okay, and I think this part of the story is true. Whatever she did or didn't do, the reaction to the world, but just because of the way it's caught, is out of proportion. Right, the whole world calling you a slut is not really. Like, you just got unlucky. Like, there's lots of people out there having romances.
I'm going to disagree with you. This is the risk.
It's the risk of it.
Like, yeah. You know how you, okay, don't, now, you, know how you don't get called a slut?
Now, according to her story, we can discuss whether you believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But first, let's take her story at
face value
first. What she says is, and her husband, whatever, has said this too. They were, and they're subsequently, I think, divorced, whatever. They were.
She was on a second marriage.
It was a second marriage. That does not excuse it. They were separated and headed for and negotiating a divorce. They were, in fact, apart. They were no longer effectively married. Their marriage was not, it was over. And
okay.
The
ex-husband, the story.
He does, right.
Okay.
And so. It turns out she had tickets to go to the Coldplay concert, and she then invited this dude as her plus one, the CEO, as her plus one. And then she said the Coldplay concert was the first time we ever kissed. What you saw was the first time we ever kissed. Now, assuming all of that is true, she's HR and he's married. So it is inappropriate.
Yeah, I mean,
but
to me,
it's not so bad. If she is, in fact, separate.
He was married.
Okay, it's bad. He was married, right?
Yes.
Yes, he was married. Still bad.
And it's like, it's a CEO and you're the director of HR.
HR,
like,
that's the
thing. Not.
You're HR. It's it. How bad
she
is
would,
it, though?
I'll say this. I guarantee you she would fire herself if that right. case were presented to her.
I think that's true. But it does help the case that she was herself separated and negotiating a divorce.
What an unbelievable coincidence.
I'm not sure I believe the first time they ever kissed part
I
of the
do
story.
Not. There's a lot of convenient details that are strategically laid out to People magazine.
Was it People?
I believe People.
It's the New York Times. I read it in the New York Times. It's a big story about her.
I believe
in the
People's
New York
who she gave the exclusive interview to.
Well, it wasn't exclusive because it's on New York in the New York
well,
Times.
Well, I mean, I think they're now, like, they can run with
maybe,
it.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. It's pretty, like, they sat down and talked, had a long conversation with her, went to her, whatever. You can read the piece. You'll see it. Look, anyway.
She's ready to talk.
Well, she got a good headline out of it. Here's the headline. The ritual shaming of the woman at the Coldplay concert. All right, that's a good headline. Ritual shame.
Okay.
You got to get to a pageant.
I do.
You go do that. Merry Christmas. We'll be back in a moment with Jason Smith. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jason Smith. Jason and John, every single day from 11 until 2. I guess if you're looking for the one seed in the NFC, if that's something you're still clinging to, last night worked out well for you, Jason, huh?
Yep. Clinging is what I'm doing to my 5%. That's the chance ESPN gives me to get the one seed, but it did keep us alive, Jeff. Yes, thank you for acknowledging that.
Yeah. That was an unbelievably entertaining, unbelievably entertaining football game.
Game of the year, for sure. And definitely Thursday night football game, best ever. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. By the way, a local product, Kenneth Walker, had a big game. We didn't even mention that earlier. 11 carries, 100 yards, and 3 catches, 64 yards, including that 55-yard touchdown run. So there you go. So I said this in the first segment, and I'm wondering if it's true. I think it's technically true, but when you consider emotion, momentum, context, I'm not sure that it's true. But that is that we have reached the point that the Memphis Grizzlies game against the Wizards tomorrow is bigger than the Memphis Tiger game, more important than the Memphis Tiger game against Mississippi State, because the State game is, we've reached the point where it is, except for psychological reasons, both for the fan base, for the team, everything else, meaningless. Do you agree?
No. I can't agree with that just because where this Tiger season could, you know, I'd hate to use the word crossroads, but you just look at the way this team has played, the way Penny has been left afterwards, sort of with the, you know, still trying to figure it out vibe. You know, at a time that's, let's be real, is your most important time of the year. If you were, it used to be, you know, non-conference, making hay in the non-conference. I guess to your point, that's no longer the case because you are what you are. Feels like you're going to have to win the conference tournament. But I'm talking about in-house vibe.
Yep.
I'm talking about, you know, just this thing not going off the rails.
Yep.
Because if it does, let's be real, and I've discussed this with Jeffrey. I mean, it's such a heavy topic right now, the Tiger basketball, because if it does go off the rails and you can't say, well, no way, you know, there's no way this happens because we saw it 2 years ago. We saw it 2 seasons ago. And we see this in college athletics. This is not something just with Memphis when you're replacing a lot of guys. I think Kansas State, you know, a couple of years ago, Tang, who loves to replace guys, you know, they had a bad year. This will happen. We saw it here at Memphis. When you're replacing 15, you're essentially gambling, and there's a good chance that you're, you know, it's going to take a while, if at all, that it's going to come together. You know, last year you hit. My God, you know, having Tyrese and P.J. Haggerty, and Tyrese was a winner. You know, John keeps making that point. I think he's on something.
Yeah.
He's on to something. And Penny's talked about it. You know, I thought these guys, they're coming from losing programs, but they'd be so hungry to win. I thought they'd just win. What? You got to teach them how to win. And Tyrese Hunter knew how to win. And he knew, and we've talked about it, he knew how to take that step back and lead that way in terms of seeing that P.J. needed to be the guy. And it just, so it worked last year. We've seen it work. This year it doesn't look like it's working. And so from that standpoint, man, you said it, just a road game. We can't assume anything. This Mississippi State team's down. You'd love to believe you go down there, you get the win, start telling yourself, boy, yeah, okay, we got the Baylor win. Now we got a road win against Mississippi State. We can start believing that we're headed in the right direction. That's why this game is more important, Jeff, to answer your question, than this game against Washington. Getting back to 500, sure, you know, symbolically say, man, look at what we've been through. We're sitting here 500. We're coming off a great game, great win against Minnesota, where we were, my gosh, you talk about, you know, Minnesota being undermanned. Look at us without Zach Edey, without any point guards available, and you pull out that win. But the point afterwards, look how we're feeling about Isolo. That was a win for him. That's a team that believes that no matter what they got, right, they got a chance. And even if it's just for a fleeting moment, or more importantly for Isolo, maybe it's a confidence that lasts for that team and everything else. You know, that's something you build upon. That was his best win of the year. And whether they lose to Washington or not, you're still going to have that. We'll move on to the next one against OKC. We'll be judging them from there. But point being, you saw them. You're seeing the vision with him now. We need to see the vision with Penny.
Yep.
You know, there's enough talent on this roster to get this thing together. And so hopefully he can settle it in, find the guys that he needs. They can stay in there, and you can move along, do what you need to do, win the conference tournament, go to the tournament. We'll judge it from there.
No, I agree with you. I think technically in the standings, the Grizzlies games matter. And in the standings now, the Tigers game doesn't. But for all the reasons you said, it is more important because that you have to show some evidence of
they
this
need
thing
something to hold
not
on to,
falling
right.
apart. Both
all of us do. Yes.
Internally, they need something to hold on to. Penny does, the fan, whatever. And the fan base does too. So you need to not have this going off the rails, because I don't, by the way, rule out. To me, the best case scenario for Memphis basketball is, and I don't rule this out, is that Penny does what he does, which is figure things out eventually, coaches the team to get better through the course of the season,
right,
wins the conference. And then if last year was a year when you had a really good season, then disappointed in the NCAA tournament, mostly for injury reasons, but whatever, why can't this year be the 180 from that? A year when you, okay, you don't have the regular season that you want, but what we remember is tournaments and whatever. Could they win a 5-12 or whatever they're going to be? Like, they, yes, 100% they could. Like, you could, there is a best case scenario where this turns out, it's not likely, doesn't look likely to me, but what this turns out well, and I guess I'm not ready to give up on that possibility.
I'm not either. I still think there's a good possibility of that, that he at least making the tournament part of it. Sure, I think the winning the game would go a long way. You get Penny to the, you know, now what, 2 tournament wins, 2 and 3, I think he would be, if you get that one, just in terms of saying, okay, next year, and here's the guys we're going to build with and go forward. That gives people, you know, it gives you that core that you can, will continue to use this cling sort of grab on what the program needs right now. And you can sell that. And I think it would give Penny sort of an energy. All right, now I'm not replacing 15. This is something I can get done and do it on this $4 to $5 million that I've got. So I think that's part of it. It's a way out. It's an idea. It's the dream scenario, especially getting the NCAA tournament win with you, with where you think you're going to be seated as the conference tournament champ. That said, that has to be the goal right now. And so I think it can still happen. I think there's a good possibility it does. And that's the Penny's way out of this. You just hope it doesn't go the other way, because from there, you just wondered, all right, well, if they weren't good enough to even win the conference tournament, even go to the NCAA tournament, it all fell apart. How many of these, where's the core? Then you look like you're going down a road of replacing 15 again. What, you know, what's the energy for that in terms of the collective and everything else? Where would we be then in terms of buy-in from the fan base? And then where would Penny's energy be? So you've got to do everything you can to avoid that, because I still think Penny at this point is the, especially in this window, Jeff, where you're shifting over to football, you got to maximize what you've got in basketball. Penny, you know, he's been doing this for a while now. He's hit before when he's done this transfer portal thing. He's, I think right now, still the best thing for Memphis basketball, but he's got to finish it off strong here.
It is funny. I mean, you talk about if it goes the wrong way, what this could look like, what all this stuff. And obviously, it's, we're all sort of dreading a repeat of the end of the Larry Finch era. It is interesting, because I had someone call yesterday when we took calls on this. And whatever, I wasn't saying Larry should be fired or anything else. But what he said was, Penny shouldn't be. But what he said was, me merging them in my mind. What he said was, I mean, come on, man. Penny just did this last year. Like, Penny had the year that he had just.
His best year, really.
But what's interesting is how quick it can change, because people do forget. When Larry was fired, just the previous year, he had gone to the tournament as a 5 seed. Like, literally the previous year. It is eerie. And John wrote a column about this earlier, the similarities. Yeah. Hell, you look at all around college sports. Look, it's James Franklin. Last year, he's in the playoff. Here you are. Things can flip in a second if things do go off the rails. So and you do wonder where this team is. I mean, Sam Shoemaker, who interned for the Daily Memphian, is now at the helmsman. Good for him. He had the story today that the Aaron Bradshaw fines have reached $20,000 of fines. That's amazing.
We talked about it yesterday on our show, you know, hearing that from Tom Hart, Dame Bradshaw, and I guess coming from Penny in those production meetings, we applauded it. We, you know, in this day and age, and Penny said he said this before NIL, that he wants to run basically sort of like an NBA-ish program in which you give guys freedom and everything else. You know, that now that you're in NIL, these guys are getting paid. Looks kind of like NBA. You brought up a good point, Jeff. Can you appeal these things? And what would that look like if Aaron Bradshaw wanted to push it and appeal these fines? You know, but no, I applaud him. And whatever way you can motivate these guys, it's sad that you have to get to that point, because, again, you're the one that picked him. You're the one that invested in him, right? You could have gone a different direction, and that goes back to roster building and everything else. It's sad that you're after finding that we're down to having to find him, figuring out how to motivate this guy. It's what Aaron Bradshaw is, but you chose him. And so I imagine it's just it's like a dog chasing his tail when it comes to frustration level. But no, if that's what I was just like you, I was shocked to hear it, because we don't know the nature of these deals in terms of what you can do between the lines and find these guys. But I applauded the effort, and I'm not doing this to try to make some kind of headline or everything else. This is not just roster. And I suggested to John yesterday, if that's a curse word type jar or fine type jar, maybe Penny should put something in it for not getting the Wake Forest win. The fact is, this team should have at least two more wins,
yeah.
UNLV and Wake Forest. And my gosh, that's the worst top 15 effort I've ever seen on a FedEx Forum floor by an opponent. You should have won that one a couple of days ago.
Right. And so three more wins, we'd feel pretty differently about all this going into the Mississippi State game.
At least Wake Forest, that's the one where you had to say Doug missed the free throw. And Penny's taken account and said, yeah, that's my fault. But if we're finding players and saying this roster is bad, how about a couple hundred in the jar for blowing that one? Because my point is, from top to bottom, they've got to shape up, sharpen up, and finish this thing out strong. Coaching staff to players.
Jason, appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Take care, brother.
That's Jason Smith. Jason and John every single day. Dorn, join now. Again, we've got a different kind of a show today. Jeffrey went to a Christmas pageant, so George is stepping in. And we had there's some college football news.
Just a little bit more college football news. It seems like a lot of these quarterbacks that could be coming out this year are just deciding to stay. We have another one staying. Darian Mensah signs a new deal to stay at Duke.
He's the former Tulane quarterback. Is it rumored $4 million a year that he was getting at Duke?
I want to say that was the rumor last season. I have no idea what this new deal.
Big money to go to Duke. Now staying at Duke, it is an interesting thing that if you have the money, like this is working out. I think college basketball is really good this year. Right. And one reason college basketball is really good this year, you've got a tremendous freshman class in college basketball, but then you got all these guys who are staying, and they're staying because if you're not a lottery pick, you might as well take the money and come back. And we're wondering what's going to happen with quarterbacks. Obviously, Arch is coming back. You knew that Archie said he was coming back before the season began. And then he had this season that he had. It only makes sense for him to come back,
right.
But you look around, the quarterback at Oregon could very well be, he could be conceivably, I'm not saying he's going to beat out Mendoza, but he's got more physical tools. He could conceivably be the top pick in the NFL draft, maybe a top five pick in the NFL draft, and yet he's going to get, $4 million to go back, so he may decide to go back. It's an interesting question. I think if you're at the top of the first round, I think it probably makes sense to go usually. But other than that, all the sense in the world to come back, right?
Yeah, and funny enough, that the Dante Moore of it all is what Jeffrey and I had talked about even earlier this week.
I heard you guys talking about Dante Moore earlier, yeah.
It was...
I would go. Like, Dante Moore, to me, is... If I'm going to be a top five pick in this quarterback draft...
Which he would be.
And 100%. And he would be. There are teams that need quarterbacks, and there's only Mendoza is the only one really, and so I think there's a huge opportunity. You can say, well, a bad team's got, yeah, do you really want to go play for the Browns or pick your the Jets? Do you pick your bad team?
And I'd love Dante Moore on the Jets.
But the truth of the matter is that it's always going to be hideous teams picking first. Look at last year. How do you like to be playing for the Titans right now? If you get picked in the top five, you're probably going to a really bad team. You hope it's a really bad team with a really good plan for you, but you're going to go to a really bad team. So that's not going to change if you wait a year. You might be more ready if you wait a year. But I actually think this is one of the good things about college that's happened, and one of the good things about the portal and the NIL universe.
Yeah, and I think the other big part of it, too, is like with a lot of these quarterbacks that we're seeing stay that extra year or stay that extra time, they're coming into the NFL more polished. Like, I don't think any of us really anticipated Jaden Daniels looking like he did his rookie season,
right.
Bo Nix starting his career the way that he has, and even to the Cam Ward in Tennessee, I'm not pinning a lot of that, malaise on him.
All right, but then you got J.J. McCarthy.
Well,
he looks horrible.
I don't think any of us really.
All right. Other topic. I'm going to ask your opinion about this before we take a break. Go to Chris Harrington. The Christian Cabot is the Coldplay woman.
Right.
Right. So she's telling her story now.
Oh, Lord.
And I asked Jeffrey about this. I think it is true. Jeffrey's view is that's the risk you take. And so the fact that the whole world is shaming her, that she's, you know, has to go into hiding is one of the risks you take. I think I'm a little more sympathetic that hundreds of thousands of people are engaged in dalliances across the universe.
Right.
Only she is the subject of this kind of, okay? But doesn't matter. One of the details, now that she's telling her story, one of the details that she claims, and let's just, for the purposes of this, take it to be true. She says that she and her husband were separated and were in the process of getting a divorce. Where literally their lawyers were engaged in getting, and she subsequently has. So does that, now, the CEO still married.
Right.
And she also says that they had not kissed until that night. Here, I had a bad decision and had a couple of high noons and danced and acted inappropriately with my boss. High noons.
Those high noons will get you. They are dangerous,
man. And it's not nothing, she said. And I took accountability and I gave up my career for that. That's the price I chose to pay. I want my kids to know that you can make mistakes, you can really screw up, but you don't have to be threatened to be killed for them. We can acknowledge it is not a should be threatened to be killed offense, right?
Absolutely. Like that sort of chatter from the internet is one of the huge issues.
It's also,
downfalls.
Here's the problem.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's also, a lot of it was just people having laughing. Not, and just laughing.
Oh, that,
it's
like
just
all the
funny.
Jokes, all
it's
the
just
memes.
Funny.
That's
it wasn't,
fine.
It wasn't really directed. It was in some ways about them, but it wasn't directed.
Could it be a time and place then?
Could have been anybody.
Like that could have
the
genuinely could have been anybody.
The fact that they, you know.
Right.
Like in the,
if
in
they
the,
had played
the,
it all.
In the story they talked about, and even the Philly Fanatic ridiculed her. Well, the Philly Fanatic was just having fun. You saw the Philly Fanatic
oh, yeah.
clip where they.
Well, he does that to everyone.
It's just like people are just having. I hate to say it. You, in some ways, you have to. You.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.